to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the circus.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Santilli Report. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin cracks me up. He does. He makes me laugh. That's what we love to do. Sorry about that. He loves to make people laugh, obviously. He makes me laugh, obviously. And I welcome you. I hope to make you laugh. There's serious stuff that we got going on. Sometimes it's hard to handle with a laugh. But let's say hello to everybody in the chat room right now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's see what we start out with. Now, I haven't said anything. I don't want these numbers to go down because I'm not Kevin, right? I want to make sure that you guys pump that stream up. Pump it up by clicking that thumbs up button. I've got some exciting news here today. I have exciting news. Let's see. Jeremy's the last thumbnail up there. Wow. The Bible is a farce. Of course. The Bible is a farce? Ooh. Is that what they're saying? On our LFA TV all-day stream, you guys can join us. Go to LFA TV on Rumble. That's where I'm looking right now. We're also out on X. Welcome if you're tuned in on X. And thank you. What's going on, Gurmisic? Oh, my goodness. What do we have? We have 500 people less watching the numbers. You guys, don't go anywhere. Share this episode. Guess what? Also, tune in tonight for the Counter Coup show, right? Counter Coup show, Pete Santilli show, here on LFA TV at 8 p.m. Eastern time. General Flynn is going to be on. Bevelyn Williams, great interviews. By the way, can I tell you that a lot of people tell me that because I've done thousands of interviews since 2011, as you can imagine, they say that I do pretty good interviews. You want to tune in. People love coming on the show. They get a great interview. General Flynn this evening. Pete will be on again. That's right, Angie, at 8 p.m. Eastern time right here on the LFA live stream for the Pete Santilli show, the Counter Coup show, broadcasting live prime time on LFA TV. Bevelyn Beatty, you remember her? Pro-life protester. She actually ended up going to jail. They wanted to keep her there forever if they could have, and they did not. Did we not get a thumbnail back? We didn't get a thumbnail back. All right, I wanted to show off Eli's thumbnail. We didn't get that back for our top news headline today. Guess what we have, ladies and gentlemen? So we don't have a thumbnail on the front of the show, and it says the Bible's a farce. You guys should be running for the hills on that one, huh? No. R-Star, I want Obama to pay for his crimes. In this lifetime, I want the world to know what kind of a fraud he really is. Yes, we all do. That's right, R-Star. Thank you, Kittenhead. Pete, I'm still waiting for your book. It's coming, Kittenhead. All right? Yep. That's right. It is coming, Kittenhead. Final chapters were added to it. And you know what? They want to do, believe it or not, a two-piece feature film. Can you imagine that? That's also being worked by a very professional outlet that left Hollywood. 3:30 to 1:30 my banking hours. All right, fantastic. Hi, Eileen Jimenez. How are you? You know, I got, for all you lovely ladies out there, we'll cover this again. This is, of course, a counter-coup topic. There's a report Deb brought to me. I'm going to play this for you ladies and probably play it again tonight once again. But this is powerful, powerful news. Army recruiters, guess what they're saying? Inspiring, inspiring recruitment surge is happening. And guess where it's coming from? I bet you'll never guess. It's coming from women. Watch this. Watch this. Deb brought this.
U.S. Army hitting its yearly recruiting goal of 61,000 soldiers 4 months early. That's the earliest they have hit the recruiting goal in over a decade.
So the rate of the Army contracts per day is also up 56% from this time last year.
And we are delighted to be joined by two U.S. Army recruiters. We have Lieutenant Colonel John Rockland Rhodes, also goes by Rocky. And we have Sergeant First Class Robert Bataferrano from Massapequa.
Yes, absolutely.
Great to have you here, guys. How exciting. This is wonderful news. Why do you think this is?
Yeah, well, so there's so many reasons. We've seen the increase in demand for education and benefits. But really what we've seen is that there's been a really wholesale transformation of the whole recruiting enterprise for the Army, and we've seen that at every level. But also, you know, like you said, from Massapequa, one of those mini transformations is getting the right recruiter to the right place. You know, he had orders to Brooklyn. I'm like, well, hey, why is he in Brooklyn? Let's get him back to Long Island. And he built a great recruiting network there, and that's really helped him excel in recruiting. He's one of our top recruiters because he's in Long Island.
Sergeant, historically, when unemployment's up and the economy's struggling, people say, let me go into the services, you know, go be a cop. But now unemployment is down. There is opportunity. Why are people still joining? When they come into your office, what are they saying predominantly?
Right, so people have many different reasons for joining. You know, it could just be that service to country, you know, pride, patriotism, but also the Army offers unmatched benefits. So even if you have a bachelor's degree, well, we can help you get your master's degree. We provide job training, stability, pension, financial, you know, all the financial things that we offer. And in addition to that, you know, we also have, we have part-time options in Army Reserve. So even if you have a fulfilling career, you can still do that part-time service in your local community.
Yeah, what we've also seen is there's so many people that just want adventure too. So the unifying characteristic is while they can find all those skills and benefits elsewhere, there's a really just a demand that we see that while they want those things, they're really there because they want to be all they can be, serve a cause, upgrade themselves, patriotism. So we see those on top of those really essential skills.
Sergeant, I was just at a base the other day with the Secretary of Defense, and it seems like there's a spirit change when it comes into the military. They've always been proud of the country, but it seems like they're so excited about what's to come. What do you think is driving that?
I mean, we call that esprit de corps. It's morale, you know? Yeah. We have leaders at all levels really supporting us every day in what we do. It's great when we have leaders out there with us. You know, I just did a 10-mile ruck march yesterday with four sergeants majors after a board, and it's very motivating for us when those leaders come out and they're really on the ground with us and assisting us and supporting us in everything that we do.
And with the recruiting, you know, a lot of this was increasing the morale of the recruiters and the training and the skills, not just of the soldiers, but recruiting specifically. So we had a lot of support from our Army leaders to create a new specialty MOS, technical warrant officers that have the data-driven analysis to find the right recruiters. Because we want to get really highly qualified recruiters to fill a highly qualified, trained Army so we're ready for future warfare, multi-domain. Yeah. That's why so many of our recruiters now have college education. We're seeing that more and more because we really want a highly qualified lethal force.
We all grew up where we heard the stories from our grandfathers, stories from our fathers, World War II, Vietnam, whatever it was. And so it's nice to see these younger people being patriotic, signing up to fight for our country so that we remain the strongest country in the world.
Absolutely.
Thank you all so much.
It was very inspiring, too.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Very. 250, happy birthday.
Yes, that's right.
1775,
right.
Very excited. 250, happy birthday.
Lots of celebrations going across the Eastern Seaboard, including here in New York. So we're excited to celebrate here in New York and Times Square.
I'll tell you, my dad reserves 20 years, and the medical that he received paid for my mom. She had diabetes. She had a stroke. She was in and out of the hospital before she passed away. Paid for everything. It was such a benefit. So thank you. God bless you.
Brings it a benefit to the show. Thanks for you doing with the country.
Thank you so much for having us.
That's right.
God bless.
Hey, you know what? Let's go. Let's take care of some housekeeping items right now. Don't you dare dip below 2,000 viewers right now that are circling in and out. Let's go. Push that share button. Click that thumbs up button, right? Let's do that. Let's hold our own. We got some stuff to cover. We want to stay together, right? Like the Democrats, they stick together. Us, what do? We're scattering like cats. Where's everybody going? Hey, where is Deb? Deb, if Pete, what? Hold on a second. What are you saying there about Deb? Stand by. Hold on a second. I wanted to go to school, and the only school I got was jump school. Air Assault Airborne was master's in drinking. There you go. Yeah. Sounds like you're talking the talk, master's in drinking. That's hilarious. Somebody said, where's Deb? Deb's going to be joining me tonight. We got a busy show tonight. She's not going to be on a whole heck of a lot because we got General Flynn and Bevelyn Beatty. So for those of you that are asking about Deb, as a matter of fact, what do you guys think? You've gotten a flavor if you're a regular viewer of our shows, maybe on LFA TV. Deb hasn't been making an appearance. Did you guys enjoy having Deb on LFA TV? I kind of snuck her in. Put her on camera, talked her into it. She loves it. She likes the feel of it. She loves our LFA family. Everyone, support us by supporting our sponsors. Please do. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
Hey there, folks. It's me again. Hope you don't mind. I'm popping in on this show, and I hope you're enjoying this program on LFA TV. But I want to talk about something very serious here, and that is the performance of your liver. Folks, you only have one. And last I checked, you can't just go on Amazon or online and buy another liver. So you want to make sure that liver is functioning properly. And because of the diets that we have here in America, you don't need to have ever been a big drinker to have liver damage, okay? And one thing you want to make sure is that your body's second largest organ, your only liver, your only elimination process is not only not damaged, but working properly. So I went to the hospital a few months back. I had some blood drawn. They said I had some liver damage. I asked, how do I fix that liver damage? They said, well, luckily for you, it's not that bad. So if you introduce things like turmeric and ginger into your life, maybe dandelion, it will help repair that damage. I said, okay, what do I do? They said, have you tried Dose Daily for your liver? I said, no. I reached out to Dose Daily. I made it a part of my everyday life. And guess what, folks? Liver damage repaired. Turmeric, ginger, milk thistle, orange, dandelion. These are great things that you need in your life. And they are things that your body's elimination process needs. You can get 30% off right now by going to dosedaily.co/LFATV. 30% off. What are you waiting for? Like I said, you can't order another liver, but you can order some Dose Daily from dosedaily.co/LFATV.
Thank you, Jeremy. There we go. Oh, we just dropped below. People left because I said don't leave. There you go. Fantastic. Just kidding. I hate that happening. Why does it happen that way over at Rumble? All right. We'll go, of course, check over at what's going on over at X and all the platforms that we typically stream out to, right? Rumble, for some reason, I don't know what they're doing. Are they sucking viewers away from us? What is happening there? We will certainly find out. You know, yesterday I played the interview with J.D. Vance. I hope you guys enjoyed that. So those are two questions. You guys like having Deb on? Did you enjoy that interview that Jim Hoff did with J.D. Vance? I certainly did. And I hope you guys enjoyed that I played the entire thing all the way through. I hope you did. All right. Thank you. Now, I want you guys to see a couple of things. I've got some what they call hodgepodgey things to share with you. One of which is you need to pay attention to what's going on with UFOs. I say hodgepodgey. It's just different. Everyone is in one particular rut of expecting perp walks and things like that. And we're not paying attention to the UFO phenomena. You guys agree? We have to pay attention to it. Dr. Avi Loeb came on the show not too long ago. He noticed a object that's in space headed towards Earth that is not or it's non-organic. What is it? It's of an intelligent life form. Okay. Now I want to play this for you because there have been reports out there about UFOs out there that can cloak, resemble other things, and self-destruct, and do all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And that that comes from the folks over at Redacted. Anytime they're not covering anti-Jew stuff, I love when they cover the UFO topic. Just some people are crazy about the anti-Jew stuff. Have you guys noticed that? It's a big thing. There's an anti-Jew person. We found out that that guy is a Fed, okay? A provocateur. He should be actually arrested for what he did. We'll get to him in just a minute. But for right now, I want to share this very important report. Pay attention to the UFO phenomena stuff. With all the other news that we have breaking, this is important.
Well, listen to this story. A Lockheed Martin DARPA engineer, also worked at NASA, Richard Van Durek, just made some unbelievable claims. Now, this video is from late 2024, but just resurfaced on X. It didn't get, like, really any attention at all when it first aired, according to at least what I saw. Now it's been going viral. So is this guy credible, or is he full of shit? Here's his statement. That trillions of UFO particles are sort of scattered across Earth, extraterrestrial particles across Earth. They've been studying them for years, he says, and these materials can cloak themselves, they can reassemble themselves, and they can self-destruct themselves. And he says they're intelligent life forms on top of that, not of this Earth. So listen to his audio here of this scientist, Richard Van Durek. Watch.
Very well. So then you could collect them every once in a while and then try to analyze them. You could do things like split them apart. And they would attempt to find each other or reconfigure. Some of the experiments they did was we took one of those and we put it on a very hot surface of about 3,000 degrees. And what it would do is it cooled the surface around itself. And then when we took the device off and then weighed it again, we would find that the mass would be reduced by a certain amount.
Do these feel like programmed materials to you, Richard?
Yeah, they were, like I was saying, they're more
top scientists.
Materials. Like these subunits probably were pretty, had computational functionality, right? Because they knew what their neighbors were all about and they knew they could reprogram themselves to be something different, right? If they needed to change themselves. So these are really curious types of materials. So that's how we could kind of tell they were extraterrestrial because these things weren't like decades ahead of us. They were probably hundreds of years ahead of us.
Hundreds of years ahead of us. Ross Colehart, a UFO researcher, posted this. Is it extraordinary claims made by scientist Richard Van Durek, Lockheed Martin, NASA, EULA, DARPA, about UFO material. So why hasn't Congress called him in as a firsthand witness? He's claiming to have handled highly advanced non-human technology. Well, James Fox is an incredible filmmaker, UFO investigator. You know him from his great documentaries like Moment of Contact and The Phenomenon. His newest documentary called The Program, I highly recommend that you go check it out. You can see it on Amazon Prime, YouTube, and Apple TV, all of those places. And James joins us now. James, great to see you. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on.
My pleasure. So does this claim align with anything you've heard in your research at all? I mean, we'll talk about maybe his credibility in a second here, but anything you've heard in your research about these sort of like smart dust particles that have intelligent life that are sort of scattered across Earth, from any kind of whistleblowers you've interviewed? You've traveled the world investigating UFOs. Has any of this aligned with what you found?
So, I'm definitely on board with the fact that the U.S. government has recovered materials of non-human intelligence or originating from a non-human intelligence. There's no question about that. And it's not just because we've had a couple of high-level intelligence officers testify under oath as to this reality, but it's because of all the field research that I've done that sort of led me to, that sort of parallels my field research, the testimonies given by these intel officers. But I reached out to a couple, this guy, Ben Durek, has got some incredible credentials. I mean, he's, NASA engineer, aerospace engineer, DARPA. I mean, it's incredible. But I think what's really important for all of us to remember is the claims needed to, or the evidence needed to verify the following claims, whether it be we have, Hal Puthoff has said we've got up to 10, possibly a couple of dozen recovered alien spaceships. Huge claim, right? You've got Eric Davis talking about this stuff. You've got, obviously, David Grush, Lou Elizondo. I think what we really need to focus on is these are extraordinary claims. And yes, they do. We do need extraordinary evidence. But what is wrong with, we need to focus on creating an environment that allows people like Ben Durek and Lou Elizondo and David Grush, Hal Puthoff, Eric Davis, and any other firsthand witnesses, secondhand witnesses to whatever nature of the technology or the evidence, provide an environment for them to be able to, testify freely in open congressional hearings. And I remind your audience, most of these people will do that. They're willing to take a lie detector test, or they're willing to testify under oath. They need immunity from their NDAs. That is where I think we need to really focus on, because, all right, let's just say he's full of doggy doo-doo. Maybe he is. Maybe he's not. Look at his credentials. I mean, let's see the evidence. So I really feel like it's time for us to transition into, all right, we contact the president of the United States, wave the magic wand, provide immunity, relieve these individuals from the NDAs. Let's have open congressional hearings the next day, and let's get to the bottom of it, because the stakes are too high not to.
Yeah, hallelujah. Now, I reported over the past couple of days here about this L'Espresso article commenting on that Italian newspaper article that said that President Trump, there's reporting that President Trump is going to seize control of the UFO program from the Pentagon, maybe like sort of, I don't know, seize control might be a harsh way to put it, but sort of step in, take what the Pentagon has been collating, is going to step out in front of the podium and release some sort of massive disclosure, maybe take the wind out of the sails of the Pentagon. First of all, the Pentagon answers to the President of the United States, so I thought that was garbage to begin with. Pete Hegseth is going to be deferential, to his president. He's the Secretary of Defense. He's going to hand that over to the president. The president will do his own press conference. Pete might be standing there beside him. Nevertheless, this idea that the president is going to release some sort of a disclosure, are you hearing any rumblings from your sources that something big might be coming from the Pentagon?
So let me back up for a minute, because I interviewed Gerald Ford on this topic. Gerald Ford was the one that pushed for the first congressional hearings on UFOs after there was a landing in Michigan, and there was the old, this scientific advisor to Project Blue Book, Dr. Hynek, says, might be swamp gas, and that, of course, blew up in their faces. And we ultimately had congressional hearings. I interviewed Ford about that. And just before the interview, he said, I'll talk about the congressional hearings. I'll talk about, the incident in Michigan in 1966, but don't ask me anything about when I was president. Giving me the impression that he was not happy with the answers he was getting. I also interviewed President Jimmy Carter. And he said that they had made inquiries during his presidency. He himself had seen a UFO, but he was not happy with the answers that he was getting. He was getting a mixed bag of responses. I interviewed John Podesta about the Clinton administration, trying to get answers about Roswell. Lawrence Spelman Rockefeller basically went to whoever was going to be the next president in the 90s. It turned out to be Clinton. And he said, either you're going to look into this UFO matter and make what's known the government knows public, or I'm going to put on every single newspaper across the country why you won't do it. He says, pick a case, Lawrence came back, Roswell. Okay. They looked into Roswell. They said they were not happy with the answers they were getting. So while I'm extremely optimistic about the Trump administration, based on decades of previous research with other presidents, both Republican and Democrat, they were not happy with the access they were getting. They knew they were getting the runaround. I worry a little bit about that because the intelligence agencies have everything to lose and nothing to gain by relinquishing control of what they know, obviously having to reveal the things that they don't know. So I'm optimistic, but cautiously optimistic, and I'll do everything I can, obviously, from the sidelines to help the administration.
And Trump has admitted publicly that he's not very interested in the subject, that he's kind of incurious about it. And so, I mean, he's
I think his son. Hey, he could be the disclosure president. This would be the biggest, most historic thing in the history of mankind. Let's just like ask the audience, can we suspend judgment and just imagine if it were true for a moment? We really did have this technology we're tinkering with, and that's the biggest story ever. Let's face it.
I think it's the biggest story in human history. I personally believe it's the biggest story in human history. I mean, what could be bigger than that, right? I mean,
I've people ask me all the time, why do I continue doing what I do? Why do you do what you do? And I say, oh, it's a good question. Let me answer that question with a question. I say, imagine for a moment if it were true, this recovered materials, we're not alone, you know, definitive data that the government has, how significant of a story would you give that? And everyone goes, oh my God, that's true. It would be the biggest story in the history of mankind. Well, we have people lining up with everything to lose and nothing to gain. Nothing to gain. This is not a career-enhancing move coming forward and making these allegations. We need to provide steps necessary to give these guys immunity, let them testify under oath in open congressional hearings, release the classified data, you know, needed to verify those claims. We have to do it. There's no other path. Yeah. Let's prove these guys wrong, or let's get to the bottom of this.
I 100% agree. James, I'll get you out of here on this question, which is you know, Jeremy Corbell, well, I'm sure, of course, and back in January, he made a claim that he knew a lie was about to be told to all of us. And the lie, he said, was that a giant interstellar craft, we would be told that a giant interstellar craft of unknown origin is heading towards Earth. And over the past 48 hours, that's what's happening. There's a number of publications that have come out saying there's some sort of object heading towards Earth. Some sort of large interstellar something. We don't know we don't know what it is. And he said, here's the lie. So what do you make of this over the past few days?
Okay, so I actually have an interview that I did in the mid-90s with Dr. Mitchell, who's the Apollo 14, sixth man to walk the moon, Dr. Edgar Mitchell. And he said to me, James, and this is in the 90s, and I have it on, I recorded it. This is an interview I did with his. And he said, they're going to stage an alien invasion. I said, what are you talking about? He said, yes, it's going to be a big distraction. They're going to stage an alien invasion. Now, do I believe him or did I believe him? Probably not. But would it be a huge distraction from what we're dealing with? It sounds to me like it could be. You know, I don't know. But there's been a lot of this disinformation. I'll leave it on this. Remind your audience that after we had near landings on the White House lawn two consecutive weekends in 1952 in Washington, D.C., we had the Robertson panel in early 1953, January, February 1953. And they said, they looked at the data and they said, you know, it's kind of difficult to deny that the phenomenon is real. There's something definitely going on here. I would try a new approach to the general public.
Okay, I need to ask a question right now. Answer this as I conclude this, because based on the answer to the question is going to determine whether or not I play the next clip. So is it important enough to the president, to our government, to the Pentagon to start to expose this? That's a neat question. But my question to you is it important to you, UFO disclosure? Do you believe that because of the cover-ups that presidents have been pushed back, that it is something that President Trump should pursue? Do you think it is? Is this important to you? Or is it just nonsense?
Look, and I would make light of it and ridicule those who claim to have seen it. And that was a policy that stuck. And it stuck, probably the most effective policy on the phenomenon that ever, and we're still dealing with it somewhat today. Less so.
So do you believe, like, this idea that they would stage a fake alien invasion? I've been hearing from my sources on this for over, you know, a couple of years that they are going to stage a fake alien invasion. And
I was told,
what's the point of it? I guess my question is, what's the point of it? Is it to make us scared so they can put in some sort of massive technocratic biosurveillance state on us and control us even more deeply than they already are?
I really don't know, but I wouldn't put anything past them at this point. I mean, I've seen the disinformation going on. I mean, I, as someone who's been in the field, when I've seen countless explanations given by whoever they are, the intelligence agencies or the official positions of the Pentagon or the DOD, and I'm going, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. And the Americans are, I'm like, people are buying this because they don't know, like, what's going on. They haven't talked to the witnesses. It is incredibly frustrating. So quite honestly, I wouldn't put anything past them. They're certainly desperate at this point. So who knows? We're going to keep the pressure on.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And we're going to do what we can to keep the pressure on these people. James Fox,
incredible
filmmaker. Go check out his latest documentary called The Program. It's out now.
That's right. B-Hop says, I care less about UFO disclosure as I do about Nikola Tesla free energy disclosures. I care more about free energy technology. Don't you? I want you to have free energy, B-Hops. Because J.P. Morgan wanted you to be on a pay-forever scheme. That's why he chose Edison's technology over Nikola Tesla, because Nikola Tesla said we can get energy out of the ionosphere. Are we dropping down because I covered UFOs? No. No. Absolutely not. We're culling the herd. We want the dumb-dumbs to leave. The rest of us, I think it's important. I'm going to play you a deathbed confession from a whistleblower. I think there's enough interest. Robert Spencer, let me play this, okay? I think you'll find it interesting that a former CIA guy on his deathbed told us what was to come. It's pretty remarkable. Here it is. This is an oldie, but a goodie. Oh, no. I will certainly. Hold on a second. Let's see if this wouldn't work. I'm going to have to. The video jammed up. I said oldie, but a goodie. Haven't played that for a while. Pulled it out of the archives. It might be in a different type of formatting, but I can fix that pretty quickly here. Wow. When was the last time? January 18th of, I think it was 2016, I pulled that out. Let's see what we got. All right, one thing we will do while we're waiting for that to come up. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry about that, you guys. Didn't I just cause a bunch of people to leave because they got held up on their dopamine hit? I apologize, please. What does J.D. Vance say about the intel services? Have you heard that? What he said? Let's listen to him right here.
Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign talking points through the American intelligence services. That's a violation of the people's trust. That's a violation of what our intelligence services should be doing. And I absolutely think they broke the law. You're going to see a lot of people get indicted for that. Here's the thing that should really bother the American people.
Yes, they
what
are.
What do you want our intelligence community to be doing? I want them to be catching bad guys. I want them to be making sure that terrorists aren't going to kill innocent American civilians. I don't want them laundering Hillary Clinton's campaign talking points into the American media and giving them this air of legitimacy. It is sick. And it's disgusting. It hurt the intelligence community. It hurt the American people. And it hurt the first Trump administration. We've got to have consequences for it.
Vengeance is coming. There will be indictments, ladies and gentlemen. There will be disclosures by the likes of people like Mel Gibson. We're having an absolute meltdown, ladies and gentlemen, of the left, of their systems. Fortunately, we've got people like Mel Gibson in the communist enclave known as California that's calling these people out for what they do and who they are.
Newsom wants to do the Maui plan.
The Maui plan? What's that, you conspiracy theorist?
What do you think the Maui locals think of the Maui plan? Yeah. I'm sorry. There aren't any more locals living there anymore. They all had to leave town. Do you think the people of the Palisades or Altadena are going to be consulted about how their areas are reimagined by Newsom and Bass?
No. Absolutely.
Yeah. It'll be more like the Chairman Maui plan.
They want to use you to get what they want and then throw you away.
Yeah. I mean, one of the most despicable things I've seen was when Karen Bass, in order to shift the blame and culpability from herself, wiped it on the fire chief and threw him under the bus for speaking the truth about how the department had been defunded and were without resources. They didn't even have water. Now Gavin has asked for $40 billion of federal dollars to do whatever he has in mind. Why would we trust him with that kind of funding? See, along with that federal money should come a federal investigation into what he for a few pennies more. A federal investigation. I mean, Karen is, she's having an investigation into why she made the decision to go to Ghana. Which is absurdity on four legs. Federal investigation, yep. We should have one of those to see what the heck happened, and a further federal oversight to see what happens with any federal funding that we get, so that we have transparency, that it's audited. Not because he's doing it, but because anyone's doing it. Because hopefully he won't be there anymore. Amen to that.
Amen.
We need to see what's happening with our money, with our federal dollars. California deserves leadership that does more than acknowledge a problem. It deserves leaders who take real, meaningful steps towards addressing these threats to our community. You deserve better. Our firefighters deserve better. And above all, the people who've lost everything deserve better.
Yeah, right.
It's time for accountability. It's time for leadership that doesn't wait until it's too late. And most of all, it's time for the government that stands with its people, not just in words.
Right.
They got to go through the motions, do something meaningful, build back better. Anyway, thank you. That's about all I have to say.
That's pretty powerful, actually.
Yeah.
I'd now like to introduce you to Randy Economy. He was going to talk to you all about the recall in general.
Righty, Randy.
Wow, what an amazing day. I'm Randy Economy, and I'm so blessed to be here today. I'm so blessed to be able to stand next to this iconic leader for our spiritual community.
Thanks for coming, Mel.
And I thank Mel Gibson from the absolute bottom of my heart.
Great job, Mel Gibson. You guys, so don't you guys love that?
Appreciative of this man.
Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I got breaking news here. Breaking news. Let's go to that. Check this out. The Texas Senate has officially passed the new congressional map. Democrats storm out in protest, of course. Texas Senate. Now all it needs is House approval, and Republicans will pick up potentially 5 House seats. Boom, boom, boom. That's what I call a counter coup. There it is. Democrats storming out. So they, I guess they were all pulled in instead of facing arrest.
I would like to mention, though, patients, there are some things I know we have a lot of people watching online that haven't been.
Yep, so we're going to pick up an additional 5 seats. Jasmine Crockett kicked to the curb. That's good news, huh? Oh, my goodness. That's great. She's going to go back to doing Cardi B music out on the front porch, ladies and gentlemen, of the Texas legislature. She's so disgusting. Okay. You know who else is disgusting? Check this out. It was a rendition of Jesus Christ Superstar. Look at their version of Jesus Christ. Look at this. Look at that freak. That's your new Jesus. By their way, I'm starting to become a little bit racist. Okay? I'm sick and tired of black communists getting in my face trying to change everything. You know? I eat Italian food. Stop trying to push your freaking black Jesus on me. Okay? Jesus is not black in my neighborhood in Italy. All right? That's it. I guess I'll just keep to my own neighborhood. Maybe they should try to do the same. Unbelievable what they're attempting to do. I have to share a couple things with you. Sometimes uncomfortable because my lovely bride doesn't like me talking. So outwardly about what's going on over at InfoWars, but I'm going to, and I'm gonna go all out. If I see Nick Fuentes after I play this over at InfoWars, Alex Jones is like just about a freaking criminal. Okay, by bringing that guy into his camp, he is an outright flat out FBI Fed provocateur. It's got to be the case. There's only one reason why Nick Fuentes would be doing what you're about to see and hear right here. Now, it's not just one person that Alex Jones has on his network. This guy's making millions of dollars over at X2, by the way. Millions. He's making bucks on X. No doubt about it. He's got Nick Fuentes, the Jew-hating, and I'm going to call him Fed provocateur. Oh, that guy needs to be, I know President Trump pardoned J6ers. This guy needs to be arrested for doing this. This is Nick Fuentes.
Keep moving towards the Capitol. It appears we are taking the Capitol.
Yeah! What is that? Keep moving towards the Capitol. It appears we're what? This is Nick Fuentes on the bullhorn.
Keep moving towards the Capitol. It appears we are taking the Capitol.
Yeah! Why was he not arrested? Why was this guy not arrested? Why? We know why. He's probably working for Alex Jones at this point. I guess we have to safely assume that. He is now. He wasn't then. When did he start working for Alex Jones?
Yeah!
What is that? What is going on over there at InfoWars? Was this all planned to do this right before we counter the coup? Alex Jones goes anti-Trump. And then he brings on Nick Fuentes, the anti-Jew, who is obviously a Fed provocateur because you would have a bullhorn in your hand. You'd be caught by the feds and arrested if you weren't working for them. Do you guys understand what I just said? That's worse than anything Ray Epps did. Absolutely worse, especially with those so-called little twink gripers, like little twinks, I call them at least. Here's another guy that Alex Jones had. You know what? It's time to start calling that slob out, okay? And yes, I mean Alex Jones. He's turned into a slob in independent media. Him and Steve Bannon.
Alex Jones is good.
He's got to clean out his freaking throat. Stop gurgling freaking Fuentes. Sorry. In between gurglings of Fuentes, he's putting on this guy right here, one of the most disliked FBI agents. Listen to this. Listen to this.
There's a man named Brian Driscoll who reportedly is being fired by the FBI as a...
And this guy is a fake, a fraud, and a lie. And how do I know? Kyle Serafin is not an authority at the FBI. Kyle Serafin, per his bosses, okay, this is what we'll say, of whom I spoke to, said he was justifiably terminated. No doubt about it. Piece of crap. If he worked at Walmart, okay, and he was sleeping on the job, and he was lazy, and he was screwing everything up, and he got fired from Walmart, all of a sudden somebody starts calling themselves a whistleblower, okay? The congressional committee that's covering weaponization of government and stuff like that, you'll notice this guy never testified. Why? Because they pulled his personnel file. He was a piece of crap. He got fired justifiably. And then he made a living bashing the FBI and claiming falsely that he's a whistleblower. He's not. It's a lie. And Alex Jones got him out there putting out stuff, whatever it is.
Tomorrow, or he's going to be forced into retirement. Brian Driscoll was tapped kind of unexpectedly, and apparently it was an actual accident when the Trump administration took over on January 20th. He was moved into the position of what's called acting director. So he went from being kind of a smaller official in the bureau, he went to the number one guy, and apparently he was supposed to be the number two guy. They accidentally moved him into his place, and so he took over. Brian Driscoll, apparently, by all accounts, is an honorable person. He worked on HRT. He spent time as an HRT operator and a team leader. He was in charge as a section chief of the Critical Incident Response Group, which is HRT and the other tactical sections. And during his leadership, we're told by people none other than like Don Jr.
$500. That's
that,
right.
Mar-a-Lago.
That's another guy. That's right. Anybody going to get near Steve Bannon? $500 I'll give you if you hand him a toothbrush. all right? Just walk up to him, hand him a toothbrush, get it on video. I'll give you $500. I can't afford $500, but I can't afford any more than that, or I'd make it huge, you know? I'd have you hand him a toothbrush and a roll of toilet paper because he smells like ass. I've always had bad gut feeling about the arrogant guy. Same feeling I've had about Musk. Yeah. These people are not right. Now, this guy, Serafin, I spoke to his bosses. When I started going after this guy, it just didn't seem right. I'm like, dude, you're a whistleblower. Whistleblower? Why? How come you've never given testimony before Congress like some of these other guys? Why? I found out because we're also, the Bundy defendants are working and have been working with the weaponization investigators. They have to vet people before they even sit down with them. They vet them, find out if they're a legitimate, bona fide person, determine what their credibility is before they put them up as a witness because they're going to get attacked. Kyle Serafin could not pass that muster because they pulled his personnel file and he was justifiably terminated for being a piece of crap. And Alex Jones, I'm going to get to the point where Alex Jones is like, oh, he does the whole Nick Fuentes gurgling over this fake and a fraud and a lie. And by the way, I also caught Alex Jones out there piling on with the local sheriff out there during one of the Trump rallies that was claiming that Vem Miller was the third assassin. And Alex Jones went to air and just started putting out fake crap. And I told Alex, hey, Alex, you're way off. I texted him with some loving kindness at the time. Now I'm going to say, that's what he does. This is what he does. Alex Jones is no longer a truth teller. He's surrounding himself with a bunch of mucks. And no wonder why I'm richer than he is. And I am. I am. He owes trillions of dollars.
Was raided not just by the FBI SWAT team in Miami, but also by the FBI's Tier 1 SWAT team, which is called the Hostage Rescue Group. The team that Driscoll used to be a member of, was a team leader of, and then was the commander of. They actually used the term commander like a military thing. So he was the number one in the FBI before Kash Patel was confirmed, and he had about a month in there. Couple of things that are really relevant. He immediately showed some signs of loyalty to the FBI and not to what was sort of the American people's mandate, because he refused to hand over a bunch of names of the folks that investigated January Sixers. People will remember this. It resulted in some lawfare. Guys like Norm Eisen, whose name I forgot the other day when I was talking, Mark Zaid was involved, and they're representing the FBI Agents Association, suing the FBI, saying we don't want those names given over to the DOJ. Brian Driscoll was the guy at the front of it. And he became kind of a folk hero in the FBI because of that, because he stood on principle, which is not a bad thing. I don't have any personal animus against Mr. Driscoll. Never worked with him. People I know said he was a good guy, so all that's out there. They started making challenge coins. What would the Driz do? That's his nickname, the Driz. You know, all these kind of things. They started kind of creating this legend of this man who stood up to the Trump administration. So he immediately became a figure of, like, quote unquote, resistance to these folks. As of today, we're hearing that he's being forced out. That's the challenge coin that was sent out to FBI employees. They could buy it. What would Driscoll do? What would the Driz do? And apparently they attribute this statement, if you want to come get rid of me, you know, come fire me. So here he is. He's been made a folk hero. Driscoll was the number one on January 20th. He was the acting director of the FBI. So he's a player. He was the hostage rescue team supreme commander, the highest commander inside that organization when Mar-a-Lago was raided. And apparently he was the one that, you know, allowed those guys to go down and do that. And that's, again, that's coming from, like,
Donald Trump Jr. Implying he's the president.
The bottom line up front is this. The pilot who flies Kash Patel's private jet right now, a Gulfstream 550 FBI aircraft, was previously, in his post just before that, running the investigation into Mar-a-Lago on behalf of Jack Smith that resulted in a search warrant at the now president's house. That sounds really scandalous.
Now I want you to listen to Alex Jones gush all over this guy who's already been deemed to be a piece of crap,
flying around the current FBI director and listening in on all of his conversations. What we also found out is that the former number one at the FBI, the acting director at the time when Donald Trump took office, a guy named Brian Driscoll, has also been ordered removed. And the insiders that I had told me that the conversation that went on in the office went something like this: you need to fire that pilot who's underneath your sort of chain of command. He said, you can't do that because he's a veteran. And he said, I want him fired anyway. And he said, do you really want to fire the guy who spent 7 months listening to your conversations and flying around in a private jet with you? Which, whether it's an implied threat or not, it is one of those kind of things that we all worried about. What does leverage look like? What does it look like to have access? It's the reason why you wouldn't want a case agent from Mar-a-Lago actually flying the plane and having direct, you know, shoulder rubs with the current director of the FBI.
We unfortunately only have 30 minutes. We'll call Sarah Fimone and invite him back up tomorrow if he can for a full hour. Kyle brought me this story over a week ago. We were going to do it Friday. They said, well, I got more information. I'm going to wait till Monday. And then he was texting me. I didn't get back with him. And then this morning I see they fired these top J6, I would call them conspirators, from the deep state at every level of it. And then I go, call Kyle. He's been calling for this since day one of the administration. Getting a lot of heat for it. And then he goes on air and reminds me, no, it's the pilot. It's the guy that raided Mar-a-Lago. It's all of it. And he goes, I don't want to toot my horn. Yeah, because you don't want to toot your horn on this stuff, folks. Embarrassing the FBI, even if you save the country, almost always down the road, they throw your ass in jail. They've already tried to indict Kyle for this, for exposing all this stuff before. They're trying to get me. I just have a job to do. So when we tell you this is dangerous, and then it kind of hit me. I'd forgotten the dots.
Dude, you're freaking useless, okay? They know you're useless. Just as long as he keeps doing their bidding by putting people like Kyle Serafin on the air, okay? Kyle Serafin is a joke. Nobody's gonna get killed. You're not going to be assassinated or arrested. You're harmless. Uncomfortable? That make you feel uncomfortable? It's the freaking truth. It is. It's the truth. He's harmless. He's rendered useless. Take away all of his money and his ability to hit the freaking Kettle One bottle every day like he used to. That's it. He's done. So now he's got Kyle Serafin and he's got Nick Fuentes. Both feds. Okay? Lying feds. Disgusting. Lying feds. Sorry. I was going to bring you that whistleblower recording. I have it. I have a copy of it. But the file is corrupted. Oh, I wonder why that file's corrupted on that particular server. I have backups anyway. I can still get it. But ladies and gentlemen, guess what? We are getting ready to transition to none other than Drew Hernandez. By the way, I sent out a couple of blasts on our social media. What's interesting about it is when I do that, normally we'll get some activity. I sent out on Truth Social, sent out over at X to bring people over, and our numbers still went down. Something funny going on with the numbers over there. That's not right. Alex said they're shutting them down today. Good. He needs to freaking go, okay? Take Fuentes with you and all of his little freaking twink sex cult people over there. Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Hernandez coming up right now, ladies and gentlemen. So now's your chance to give Drew a big hello. Be sure to tell him. Pizza Telly sent you. It was a cough. Welcome to the circus. And a sneeze at the same time. That's the weirdest thing ever.